Morning, people. Today's daf is Midah, Staf, Lamed, Zion. Now, all good things come to an end, which means, of course, new beginnings. Tomorrow we start Masecht Nida, last Masecht in the cycle of Shas. Okay, you know what that means today? We're ending Masecht Midos. We're ending really Seder Kachim today. This is really the conclusion of a extraordinarily long journey. We started with Zvachim. I don't remember the date. It's been a while. Zvachim, Menachos, Chulin. Your first three big Masechtos of Seder Kachim, and then we covered the quote unquote the smaller ones. But some of the smaller ones weren't so small. But now we're really at the end, and we are finishing up now Masecht Midos. Now Midos, as we've spoken about since the beginning, Midos really just gives us nothing more than just a floor plan of the Beis Hamikdash by Cheney. And so, with my trusty picture over here, so we're going to finish up. The third perek of Midos, which is what we essentially did yesterday, I did one Mishnah in the fourth perek. The third perek of Masecht Midos, so geographically, did not take us really that far. Meaning, here we go. We started yesterday entering into the Heichal. No, incorrect, sorry. Third perek. We started with the Mizbeach. So we were here at the beginning of yesterday's daf. And at the end of the third perek, we got right up to here, to the entrance. So 32 plus 22. Yesterday we traveled a total of 54. We traveled 54 amos yesterday. That was our geographic plan for yesterday. What about today? So today we're going to travel a little bit further than that. Okay, now you know what we're doing. By the way, our movement is going west. We are going from east to west. Because what we're doing in the Maseches is we're touring the Heichal, starting over here at the entrance. I mean, we started more globally, but we start over here at the entrance, the Nicanor entrance, and we're going now in a westbound direction. And as we go more west, there's going to be more and more Kedusha. We hit the Mizbeach. We are now at the entrance of the Ulam. Okay, we're past the entrance of the Ulam. We're at the entrance of the Heichal. Right? How do the doorways of the Heichal open up? So that's the mission that we did yesterday in the fourth parak. The fourth parak now is going to introduce us to the Heichal, and now we're going to enter into the Heichal. So there was a double doorway. That we all agree. How did the doors open up? So that was the first mission that we did yesterday. First mission of the fourth parak of Midos brings a machlokes in terms of how they opened up. One position which we saw yesterday is that they opened up both interior. So in other words, the outer doorways opened up and covered the hallway of that entrance, and the back doors opened up and basically hinged and basically did a total 180 so that they went flush against the back wall of the Heichal. This opinion maintains that these back walls over here of the Heichal, right, if you will, from the inside, the most eastern walls were not plated with gold. They didn't need to be plated with gold because once you opened up the Pesach HaHeichal, so these gold doors now cover the back walls. That was opinion number one. What was the second opinion that we saw yesterday? Folding doors. Each one of these doors folded in half. Each one of them folded interior. So that means that these doors then fold in half and fold interior and covered simply the entrance of the hallway. Okay? That is the first mission of the fourth parak I just reviewed. Mishnah Beis. We're moving ahead. Shnei Pishpishim Hayulo Lishar. Now, there were two side doors. Remember, we talked about this already, back in Tamid. But here's the Mishnah Midos, where if you wanted entrance into the Heichal, you didn't have to go through the Pesach Heichal, the main entrance of the Heichal, but rather what you did is there were two side doors. You walk into the Ulam over here, and you'll see there's a side door over here, there's a side door over here. Remember, we talked about unlocking these side doors, so the Kohen, when he unlocked, now, there was one to the... Where am I standing? I'm standing to the north. There's one to the north and there's one to the south. The one standing to the north is the one that's used, the Mishnah Midos will tell us. The one in the south is not used. The Mishnah is going to say that as well. Remember back in Talmud we described unlocking this door? We said that the Kohen would have to stick his arm all the way through, up to his armpit, in order to unlock. Apparently, the lock and latch system was inside and he had to somehow stretch his arm inside. Then he was in this Ta, right, the office space. And there he went into the Heichal, side entrance into the Heichal. Why do I call an office?
Yeah.
I don't know what else to call it.
Why didn't
It's rooms. It's just rooms.
But there's no one that sits there and has.
Oh no! Right. You're right. You're thinking desk and telephone and correct.
And he's computer.
Correct. 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 Correct.
Thinking of wood.
Right.
Cell.
A room. Okay. Shnei pishpishim hayulol. I'm a Mishnah base. I'm on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. And there were two side doors. Hayulol the Sharaga, the Lecha B'tzafam Vecha B'dam. One to the north, one to the south. Shibadaram, Lo Nichnas Bo Mei Olam. Okay. And, sorry, Mr. Word. Yeah, Lo Nichnas Adam Bo Mei Olam. And the southern entrance was mysterious. No one walked into the southern entrance. In fact, the Mishnah goes on to describe Ve'alav Mefurash Ayidei Cheskel, and there again we have a pasuk in Yecheskel, and the pasuk says Shenema Vayomer Elai Hashem Hashara Zeh Sagur Yeh Lo Yiftach Ve'ish Lo Yavol Bo. No man is allowed to go through this. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Babo. That's the entrance for Hashem. Now, you're going to ask me what that means? Don't ask me what that means. Correct. In other words, Pasuk Yecheskel, these Pesukim are hard to understand. So good. So I don't know what that means. But it means that we don't walk through that door. That's what it means. Vayasagor, and it's closed. Not tos, I'm avteach, sorry. I'm plowing ahead in the Mishnah, but this is a moment to pause. Good. So no one goes through that south entrance. That's closed. Okay, not open for business. So if you want to go into the Heichal, which is what the Kohanim did every single morning, we learn back to Masechta Tamid. So what they would do is they would walk into the Ulam, make a right-hand turn, go to the northern doorway, open that, open the up to the Heichal, and that's how they would go in every single morning. And then every single morning, then their next move would be to open up the main entrance of the Heichal. Because as we talked back in Masechta Tamid, you want the doorways to be open when you're shechting the Karbanos. Right? Do you want to be lifnei Hashem? You want to be in front of Hashem. Not tos amavteach uposech as a pishpish v'nichnas lahata. Okay, so the Mishnah here in Midos describes. So you open up the doorway. We're obviously talking about the northern doorway. Umehata lahechal. From that tal, you go into the hechal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'soch ova shokosa hayamahalech ad shenimsa omed ben shnei asharim uposech as a chitzonim mibifnim. Now, where does the side door take you out? So, we have it in our picture, in our handy-dandy picture, that the side door actually takes you into the Heichal. The Gemara brings another opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. He says, no, that when you're in now this little hallway over here, the side entrance, there, it actually has a passageway that allows you to go in between the two entrances of the Heichal, and apparently then you'd be able to open it up. Now, does Rav Yehuda hold they are folding doors?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, they're bifolding doors. Oh, so those two positions coordinate. Hmm. Oh, and they coordinate well. Meaning, because that means now that both doors open up interior to the interior. So in other words, so the entrance, that side entrance allows them to go into that into that open area. And now you do open up these doors interior, you open up these doors interior. I get it. Okay, good. What an excellent moment of discovery. Okay, again, how could there be such a machlokas? You know, see, I don't know
why
who to say.
What's the difference?
Right, Lamaisa, right, practically speaking. Okay, Ushloshim Ushmona Tai Mayusham. Now, we mentioned the office, so we're now going to go around the office. Now, by the way, an observation, which you'll see is correct as we go through these Mishnayos. We're going to talk about the Mizbeach Zahav, not at all. We're going to talk about the Menorah, not at all. We're going to talk about the Shulchan, no. How about the Aron? No. Meaning, the main furnishing, so to say, are not discussed in Midos, and the point is, they're not. Meaning, Midos has a very specific objective, and the name of the Masechta really says it all.
Yeah.
Midos means measurements. Meaning, we're really interested more than anything else, and my point is going to become clear as we go through these Mishnayos, and we get into the fifth perek, which we'll get to shortly enough. You're going to see that these Mishnayos are really interested in one thing and one thing only, and that is the measurements. Meaning, we want the floor plan and the height plan as well, but we just want a schematic view of the Beis HaMikdash. The furnishings, okay, in other words, you know about the furnishings, right? You can open up a chumash, you can read a chumash. and you can learn about all the furnishings in the Beis HaMikdash. But that's not the purpose of these particular Mishnayos. They're solely interested in midos, in just measurements. And there are 38, okay, I call them offices, you want to call them something else, whatever they are. It was cells, okay. 38 rooms in total, okay? 15 to the south, 15 to the north, and eight in the west. Now, as you look at this picture over here, this is a two-dimensional picture, so you're not going to see 15. You're going to see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're going to see 5 pictures over here. Same over here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know what that means now, 3 stories high.
Right.
So this is 5 over here, 3 stories high, 5 over here, 3 stories high. Now this one's going to confuse everybody when you're looking at this picture, because I have 1, 2, 3, so 3, that's 3 stories high, so that should make 9. And the Mishnah is about to tell us it's 9, 9 over there, it's 8. Yeah. So it's 3 on top of 3.
And
2. Sorry.
Three
is on top of 3 and 2 is on top of that. That gets us to 8. So these ta'im, these cells, are 3 stories high, 15 on the north, 15 on the south, 8 on the west side. Ushosh shmanim tama yusham chamisha asa betzafan chamisha asa bedarom ushmanah bemarav. Now, what happens in all these cells? Again, the Mishnah doesn't tell us, and you know, don't ask me because you know. I don't know. But in other words, but again, though, it speaks to the basic point of the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos are not interested in function. The Mishnayos are just interested in the linear space. How much linear space is taken up? Sheb itself, and Shebedar and Chamisha, Agabe, Chamisha, Vechamisha, Agabe, and 5 on top of 5 on top of 5 for the north and south. Sheb and Marav, in the west, Shlosha, Agabe, Shlosha, Veshnaim, Agabe, 3, and then on top of that, 2. Ushlosha, Psachim, Hayu, Lechol, Echad. Now, every one of them has 3 openings. Not every single one of them, but most every single one of them has 3 openings. Meaning, when you're in any particular ta, you can go to the one to its right, you can go to the one to its left. I guess it doesn't matter which way you're really facing. Meaning, but you don't understand. There's one on the right, there's one on the left. And also, apparently, there was some sort of attic and ladder, I guess, to go to the one immediately above it. Now, it's interesting because if that means that there's one to go way to go above it, that also means that there's one to go below as well. So, you know, I guess you could say that really there are 4, but
only the middle ones had 4, right? And the upper and the bottom only had 3. So,
well, okay, I'm saying if you're on the bottom floor, so then I understand. So then it's one to the right, one to the left, and one above. But if you're on the second floor, I mean, presumably, right, left, up, and down. Okay. Anyway.
What are the purpose of these cells?
Don't ask. It's fair. It's a reasonable question. I don't know. I don't know. The echel atasha agabav. I'm going to guess storage, but frankly, I don't know. We're going to talk about maintenance. A little bit of maintenance is going to come up. Now, if you're all the way in the northeast, you're going to find 5. 5 psachim, 5 openings, and this picture illustrates it beautifully. Okay, and I'm sure you have pictures as well. So in other words, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then one going to the one up above it. That's 5 psachim. Echala tamin yamin, ve'echala tamin ashag above, ve'echala mesiba, ve'echala pishpesh, ve'echala hechal. Now the pishpesh is the one that goes out to the ulam, one that goes into the hechal, and the one that we have not discussed is that there's a mesiba. Okay. I think Masiba, I think like a little get together that includes singing. Anyway, Masiba is a ramp. Okay, and there's a ramp, and we'll talk more about the ramp in just a little bit. Hatachtona, Chamisha, Verovad Shisha, Vahemsai Shisha, Verovad Sheva, Vahalyona Sheva. Now, why were these offices now? It's a little bit strange. As you move up, the offices actually get wider. The cells get wider. So when you're on the low floor, so it's at Tachton, it's Chamisha, it's 5 amas from north to south. And Rav Achiva, and sorry, and 6 amas of wall space. Okay? This picture does a good job describing that. But then when you move up to the second floor, Shisha, So now there is six amas of linear measurement from north to south, and then the rovat is going to be. I'm sorry. Shisha v'rovat sheva v'al yona sheva. Shenamar ha'itziyah techtona chamesh ba'amar rachva v'tichona shesh ba'amar rachva v'ashlishish sheva ba'amar rachva. And again, you go back to the psukim, and these psukim are from the first base of Mikdash. I think this is the first time we've done this, meaning that, in other words, there are two Bate Mikdash. One described in Yecheskel, which is really describing the third base of Mikdash, but those are the psukim that we most often quote. You can flip back over this Maseches, you'll see Yecheskel. A little Zechariah, but right, Yecheskel. Meaning, basically, we've been quoting Yecheskel throughout our Maseches to describe. Here, we're using a description of Bais Rishon, Malachim Aleph Perek Vav. That's where the first Beis Hamikdash is described in Tanakh. So so there was these offices in the first Beis Hamikdash, and again, 5, 6, and 7. Hamisiba Haisol, Amikaren Mizrachit Sfonis, Lekaren Sfonis Maravis, Shabayo Ona Legago Satayim. Now you want to go to the rooftop, so how do you get to the rooftop? So I guess you can go through these Tayim, but they had basically a stairwell. Okay, now it wasn't exactly a stairwell, it was more like a ramp. And the ramp started here in the northeast corner. So I know I'm pointing, and I know that doesn't help for the listening members of the audience. But it started here in the northeast section, and it ran along the outside, right outside of that first office that you entered. And now this is a floor level, and it starts going up. Now it starts making its ascent. Now, I don't know its degree of ascent, but it starts making ascent over here, and then it makes a left-hand turn. And then it's going to run along the western wall, and then it's finally going to run along the southern wall. The Mishnah describes. So you would walk around the Mesiba, ufan of Lamarav. Now your first track of the Mesiba would have you facing west. Exactly, because you're standing here, and you're heading in the western direction. Now you walk along the whole northern perimeter, until you get to the west. It's called making a left-hand turn. Okay. Now you're going to be walking along the western side, and again, you're going to keep going up. So this is a continuous ramp that as you walk, now allows you to basically ascend. Until you get all the way to the south. We're now here, in this corner. The southwest corner. Higia kape darum. Yeah, it is counterclockwise. It's a good observation. Higia kape adarum vayu panav lemizrach. And now you're going to be making another left-hand turn. And now you're going to be facing east. Hayamalach bedama shumagia lepizchel shal aliyah. And this is where you can have the entrance to the aliyah, to the attic. And shepizchel shal aliyah pasuch kape hadarum. That's where the entrance is, meaning it's right over there. In the south of Pitzcha Shali, Ayu Beis Klon, so Shal Eretz. And there were two cedar beams. Again, there's wood. Wood pops up every now and then. Okay, we talked about that yesterday. Shemem, Ayu Ola Legaga Shali, and that's how you get to the rooftop. Now, how do these cedar beams work? Well, they're kind of like ladders. I'm not 100% sure. Again, we just have a very rough diagram.
Well, turned off that last one, he's now
facing south.
No, but when he turns in, he's now facing
south. Okay.
This stairway wasn't to provide any entrance to the cells.
I don't think so. The cells communicated with each other. Right. And the cells also communicated with the one above it.
Uh-huh. So okay. This passway is only to get to the attic.
That's what it seems. That's what it seems like it's describing. Over Roshan, Pispis, and Mavdo, Ba'aliyah, Ben HaKoshel, Ben Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, when you're on the rooftop, so how do you know where you are vis-a-vis Heicha versus Kodesh HaKadoshim? Meaning, because remember, like we're looking at the floor plan over here. Kodesh HaKadoshim has the highest level of Kedusha. Nobody goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim. Except, of course, for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And even then, right, it's dangerous work. Yeah, yeah. So nobody goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That Kedusha keeps going up. Meaning, so there's no cap on that Kedusha. The Kedusha of Kodesh HaKadoshim keeps going up. So now you're on the rooftop. So how do you know now where you are?
Right.
So
you don't want to just step there, right?
Right, correct. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. So, V'rashim pitz pitzim avdo ba'aliyah ben akosh l'ben akosh HaKadoshim. They are pispisim. There are some sort of markers. Right? It's not the first time that we use that word. You remember, in the Beis HaMokad, we used exactly that terminology. The pispisim and the Beis HaMokad were dividing the Beis HaMokad between the Chol and the Kodesh. So on the top of the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, you had pispisim. Now, maintenance. Famous Mishnah. I say famous because it's quoted. The Mishnah has talked about, this Mishnah has talked about elsewhere in Shas, where, what if there needed to be maintenance in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So there were workers, and here's what happened. There are ways to get from the rooftop down into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And workers who had, let's say, redo the plating, the gold plating of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they would do is they would be dropped down in boxes. Okay, you know, if you want to picture those window washers.
Elevators.
Huh? They were like, yeah, they were like elevators, basically. Right, not right. Right, with pulley systems. And they were in the box, and obviously the only thing they would be able to see is the wall that they're currently walking on. Now, ha'umnim b'tevos k'dei sh'lo yizono einehem. Interesting terminology. Their eyes shouldn't become full, right? Zan is obviously what we use to describe our bellies, right? But it's we don't really describe zan in terms of our eyes. But their eyes shouldn't become full, mi beis kodesh hakadoshim, from looking at the kodesh hakadoshim.
You shouldn't get full view.
Correct. No 360 view. Okay. Ve'ahechal. Okay, and now, that's it, we're done. Right? Now, I know we're not done. I mean, we have obviously more to go.
This provides a good diagram.
Oh, you see the, you get to see the whole thing.
The openings of...
Okay, and we're done. And now what we're going to do is we're going to go over our measurements. Okay, just to make sure everyone's clear about the measurements. Meaning, what about the Mizbeach? Nope. The Menorah? Also no. Shulchan? Aron? No. Because they have nothing to do with the linear measurement of the Beis HaMikdash. We're right now just strictly interested in its linear measurement. That's it. So we covered everything. Okay. The Mishnah says, Heichal, Me'al, Me'al, Rum, Me'al. Okay, and the Heichal is 100 by 100 by 100. Now the picture that you and I are looking at right now does not look like we're looking at a square of 100 by 100 by 100. So in other words, what we're going to do is the following. It's 100 on the longest end from north to south, over here. It's 100 from the longest end from here to here along the east west, and it's 100 from the bottom from the base all the way to the roof. So it is a cubic block of 100 by 100 by 100, but there are cutouts. It's going to be you have to have a good imagination in order to see this, and the Mishnah is going to say this momentarily, but it kind of looks like a lion. Lion has broad shoulders in the front, and it narrows and it tapers off as it goes towards the tail. Okay, again, you need a little bit of imagination to really see it. But that's really what the Heichal gives you that visual of. It gives you the visual of a lion. Excuse me. Ha Heichal mea al rom mea. Ha otem. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to now go from the base up. And we're going to show you how it's 100 amas from the very base up, and we're going to account for every single amma. We start with the foundation. Ha'otem shesh amos. Vigova arba'im amma. So the otem, so the foundation, is going to be 6 amas. And it is then 40 amas of first floor. So in other words, here, we're on the second floor, so... But in other words, and this is... Okay. So you have six amas of just, I guess, poured foundation. Then,
which corresponds to the steps that go up.
I was thinking about that also, right? That's very good. The ulam steps were 12 steps going up. Each step is a half an amma. So in other words, right? So when they poured the foundation, so that obviously allowed now the ulam to meet perfectly with the flush with the base of the heichal. That's very good. So Shesh Amos Vigova Arba Imama. Now when you're in that first floor of the Beis HaMikdash of the Heichal, so it's 40 Amos. That is approximately an 80-foot ceiling. That's high. And that's only the first floor. Okay. Arba Imama. Now, there's going to be, to get from the first floor to the second floor, you need obviously a landing, right, for that second floor. and it's going to be made up of four amas of material. The Mishnah is going to describe it. I don't understand it so well, but this is really a visual. Like, you need to see it. Ama kior, ama sayim beis dilfa, va'ama tikra, va'ama ma'aziva. Okay, so it's an ama of what's called kior. I don't know what that is. Two amas of dilfa. Again, these are materials used to make that roof for the first floor and floor for the second floor. The gova shel aliyah mem ama. Now the second floor. Now who was up on the second floor? Honestly, nobody. Meaning, right, all the furniture was downstairs on the first floor. Now the second, right, so the second floor, which was just as high as the first floor, I mean, we could just only try to visualize it, which was exactly as high as the first floor, it was just a huge empty room, presumably. Yeah, good question. I don't know. Right, again, our Mishnayos are interested in structure, not function. So I don't know. And again, now we're going to describe that same structural design that we have for the first floor, we're now having for the second floor. And gimel amos ma'ake, and of course three amos for the ma'ake. We need a gate, a fence on the top, so no one falls off. Va'ama kala orev, and ama is for kala orev, and then on top of the Beis HaMikdash, it is topped off. We're now talking about the very, very top with the Kala Orev. What is the Kala Orev? Take a look at the Rush. I'm going to find it myself. Ama Kala Orev, Tablao Shal Barzel. Uvam Kvuos Masmaros Chadim. Spikes.
We had this before.
Yes. Spikes. Limnoa es arevim l'shkon sham shelo yavo es atuma. And we want the spikes over there because we don't want ravens sitting on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. You know, birds like to perch on high spots. So the bird and the Rush describes how the bird's going to pick up a sheretz or some other, you know, dead tummy object, and just going to drop it somewhere in the Azara or drop it somewhere in the base of Mikdash. So therefore, the spikes are to keep the ravens away. V'chein ayu al kol gag ha-heichal, and it was over the entire roof of the heichal. So spikes on the very top. That is
all over. Like
that's what he's describing, and that's what and that is one pshat. And then he gives another pshat, and I'd say this is famous only because I know it. But he gives now another pshat over aruch perish ayatzura la'avriach ha'ofos kedersh osin shomrei ha'peros. The aruch describes, you know what this kala orev was? It was a scarecrow, a scarecrow on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. It's an unbelievable visual, meaning that we're talking about now the Beis Hashem. And on the top of it is a scarecrow. Now, let me ask you a simple question. This I do remember. I don't remember where. Did this exist in the first temple?
No.
Right. So Tosus says no.
Second one.
It only exists in the second temple. Now, why does Tosus say that? Again, I have to have some sort of recollection of where Tosus is. Right. And we all intuitively know the answer. Because in the first base of Mikdash had Shechina. It had Kedusha, it had Shechina, it had it all. So now, the ravens are not going to go and sit on top and perch on top of the Bais Rishon. But then when you get to Bais Sheni, and we talked about this a number of times, Bais Sheni in structure looked like a temple, but was not the Bais Rishon. Right? The depiction they had in Ezra of the people who remembered by Bais Rishon and now seeing by Bais Sheni, they cried. Meaning they knew that this was a shadow of what once was. So they probably didn't have a scarecrow. I mean, Tosu says they didn't have a scarecrow in the first Beis HaMikdash or whatever this was. Okay.
It's interesting because the purpose was to prevent crows from bringing like shrugs in on top. But what about just on a ground level? Where how do they keep the shrugs away from
going? Right. I don't know. Whenever
it's crawling all over the place.
Correct. I mean, Lahavda, but when we go fishing, like, there are birds everywhere. I mean, just, you know, you have carcass, you have over there, you have, I don't know. Rav Yehuda Amar Lo Haya Kala Orev Ola Min Amida. So Rav Yehuda says, look, I agree, but I disagree. Meaning, yes, there was this Kala Orev, right? Spike, scarecrow, whatever it was. But it wasn't counted towards 100, because that's not structure. That's not part of the Beis HaMikdash. That was just, to keep the birds away. So Ella Arba Amosai Amaka. So the Maka was 4 Amosai. Good. All right, so now we went from the bottom to the top. Now we go east to west. And what we're going to do basically is account for every single Amah, starting from the east, going all the way to the west. Mimizdach Lamarav Mea Amah. So it's 100 Amah. Now we're talking about the building, just the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So we start here at the entrance of the Ulam, and we're going to go all the way to that back western wall. And needless to say, we're going to go east to west, because that's always the direction we go. Ha'ulam Chamesh, I'm sorry, Kosal Ulam Chamesh, or the wall of the Ulam, was 5 Amah thick. That's a thick wall. You're talking about a wall that's 10 feet thick, approximately. Ve'ulam Echarasar, and the Ulam itself is 11 Amahs. Kosal Ha'echal Sheish, the wall of the Heichal is 6 Amahs thick. Ve'tocha Arba'im Amah. Now, when you walk into that first room of the Heichal, the main room of the Heichal, the room of the Heichal, so now it's 40 Amahs from east to west, so that's 80 feet, approximately. Amah Troxin, now you take an Amah for the Troxin, that's the two curtains, right, which the Kohen Gadol went in between those two curtains in order to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
But wasn't there had to be space between them so you could walk?
Yes. Right. In other words, you're asking me about the thickness of the...
You're saying there the thickness was an Amah, right?
The total thickness, meaning between the two curtains and the area in between.
So we're discussing this space between them.
We're just right now it's just space, just linear space. Amah Troxin, Esther Mama based Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 Amahs, which housed the Aram. Kosel HaHechal, Sheish, and the wall of the Heichal now, we're on the back wall right behind the Aron, is 6 Amahs of wall. The Hata Sheish. Now the office is 6. Right, I was thinking, it's funny, you read my mind. The first floor is 5 Amahs, so one must be describing the second floor. Right, particular reason why the Mishnah is doing the second floor? I'm asking, I don't know. Kosel Ata Chamesh, and then the wall of the Ta is 5, and that got you to 100. Okay, I'm trusting that if we hit now some total, we'll get to 100. Minat Tzafel L'Darim, now we're going to go from the north to the south, but mind you, we're going from the north to the south over here. I'm pointing. That helps. In the front, meaning by the Ulam, because we are looking at that now, the longest north-south dimension, and that is by the Ulam. So, Min HaTzof L'Darim, Shivim Amah, Kosel HaMasiba, I'm sorry, Shivim Amah, I'm sorry. No, we're talking here about the narrower end. So, Chamesh, I'm sorry, Kosel HaMasiba, Chamesh of the wall is 5, V'HaMasiba, Shalosh, and the Masib of the ramp itself is 3. Kosal ata chamesh vata shesh. Kosal eichel shesh v'tocha esri mama. Right? The north-south distance of the heichel is 20 amas. Okay? Approximately 40 feet. Kosal eichel shesh vata shesh v'kosal ata chamesh uveis hordos amayim shalosh. On the south side, it doesn't describe a ramp because the ramp didn't go all the way from the west back to the east. Apparently the ramp stopped at some point in the way. And so this is Beis Hordos Hamayim, an area where there was water. V'akosu chamesh amas ha'ulam odef alav chamesh esrei amah. I'm sorry. Chamesh amos. Period. Okay. So that is 70 amos from north to south along the Heichal. Now, but the Mishnah opened up by saying it was 100 amos. Where do you see 100 from north to south? That's the Ulam. Now to get from 70 up to 100, so that gives you an additional 30. Split it up, some here, so that's 15 here, 15 here. The Mishnah says, Ha'ulam odev alav chamesh esrei amah min ha'tzafon, v'chamesh esrei amah min ha'darom, v'hu ha'ya nikra beis ha'chalifos. This is the beis ha'chalifos. A chalifa is a knife. Knives were kept in these rooms. Shesham gozim es ha'sakinim. And the Eichel was narrow in the back and wide in the front. V'doma la'ari. This is where I told you need a little bit of imagination, a little creativity. And it looks like a lion. Lion, if you have the picture of the lion, broad in the front, very narrow in the back, that is our picture. Shenemar, Havei Ariel, Ariel Kiryas Chana David. Ma'arit tsar me'achorav v'rachav milafanav, av heichal tsar me'achorav v'rachav milafanav. So, this is the Ariel. By the way, not the first time we use the term Ariel. But when we used it previously, what was the Ariel used to describe? It's used to describe the Mizbeach. So, right? So Ariel is kind of a loose term. Previously we used it to describe the Mizbeach, and now we're using it to describe the... And now we're using it to describe the actual building itself, the Heichal.
The Mizbeach sort of has between the ramp and the Mizbeach, like that broad and narrow thing also.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah. It's also very, it's very good. Ajalach Pitzcho Shel Heichal, end of the fourth parak. And now we have one more parak to go. Okay, and again, I told you there's one purpose to this entire Masechta. And that's a floor plan. Meaning, and so now what we want to do is we want to take a total measurement of the floor plan of the Azara. Okay? The Mishnah says, first Mishnah, the fifth parakel, Azara, Aisa, Orech, Mea, Vishmonim, Visheva, Arochav, Mea, Vishloshim, Vechamesh. It is 187 by 135. I'm sorry, Minam Mizrach Lamarav Kopevav. From the east to the west is 187. Okay, and what we're going to do now, the Mishnah is going to do, is start from the eastern part of the Azara, right, and just simply travel west in a westbound direction. Malkum Jesus Ragli saw Yudav Amas. So the first thing is the first 11 Amas. That's where the Yisraelim walk in the Azara. Malkum Jesus Koanim Achas. And now another 11 amas for the Kohanim. Hamizbeach shloshim v'shtayim. The mizbeach now takes up another 32 amas. Bein ulam the mizbeach esrim v'shtayim. From the mizbeach to the ulam is another 22 amas.
That was the steps.
And that and some of that was made up of the steps. Ama, v'shtayim ama. Hachel kof ama. Right, the heichal. Right, let's change that. The heichal is 100 ama. The Achan Asrei Amah Alachor Beis HaKapores, and Alavanam is behind the Kapores. Okay, good. Next, Mishnah Beis. Minut Safon.
How come you don't include the thickness of the wall?
Right. That's a good question.
Everywhere else
in. Yeah.
I think it's included in the 22.
I mean, it's.
And an understanding.
No, I think what Alex is asking is. These walls over here, which obviously have thickness to it, they're not part of the 187. Mm-hmm. When we measure them, the Heichal included the walls, but the Azara does not include the walls. Yeah, I mean, you're right, but it's a good observation. Okay. Minat Safon Ladarom, and now we're going to go the Azara from the north to the south. Me'av Shoshim V'Chamesh, it's 135. Now, here it's interesting. Meaning, when we went from the east to the west, you see what we did? It was very simple. We went all the way from the eastern side, and we started. 11 for Ezra Sissol, 11 for Ezra Kohanim, and we basically just plotted our way very methodically all the way to the west side. Now, when going from the north to the south, or from the south to the north, we kind of start in a very strange place. And that is, we start with the Mizbeach. But the Mizbeach wasn't the end of a side. Right. It wasn't flush against the south, and it certainly wasn't flush against the north. It's a strange place to start, okay? Which is what leads to a lot of ambiguity in terms of where the Mizbech actually is, in terms of its north-south plane. But here's what we know, meaning, kind of like work backwards over here. We know the total is 135. Okay, that's a given. Now, Mina Kevish Mizbech, Shish Mishtayim. Now, from the ramp and the Mizbeach in total is 62 amas. That gives a lot of support to the position. In other words, remember how we said the ramp was 32 amas, right? We use that number to describe the ramp. So, allow me to do a little bit of simple calculation. If the Mizbeach is 32 amas, which it is, and the ramp is 32 amas, right, which was how we described it earlier, so that's 64. Right, and here we're saying 62. So it does give a lot of credence to the position that when we say that the ramp is 32, we're talking about the hypotenuse of the ramp, not the horizontal of the ramp. Okay? Good. Min ha-mizbech la-tabaos, and now from the mizbech up to the baos shmona amos, that's 8 amos. Makom ha-tabaos, that's in va-arba. And the actual tabaos, the rings take up 24 amos. Okay? How are the rings configured? Remember, machlokas. 6x4 or 4x6. Okay. Min ha-tabaos la-shulchanos, and now we go from the tabaos to up to the shulchanos, meaning we're heading now in the northern direction. Meaning, awkwardly enough, I made this point already, we didn't start from the very bottom, we didn't start from the very south, we just started from the Mizbeach. Okay. So, from the Tabaos up to the Shulchanos Arba, that's 4 amos of space. Mino Shulchanos Ula Nanasim Arba. From the Shulchanos to the Nanasim, those were those short blocks where the hooks were hooked on the Nanasim, another 4 amos. Mino Nanasim Lekosal Azara Shmon Amos. So, and from the Nanasim to the Kotel is now another 8 Amos. The Hamosar, now, there's we didn't account for all 135 Amos. Okay. I didn't do a subtotal.
110.
The subtotal is 110?
That's what it says.
I'll trust him. 110 now is our subtotal, so that leaves a remainder now of 25. Okay. The Hamosar ben Akefesh HaKosel Umakom HaNanasim. So, somewhere... We're gonna spread out the remainder, right?
Huh? We're gonna plug it.
Yeah. So some of it is between the Kefesh and the Kosel, and some of it is for the Nanasim, for the blocks. Okay. And yeah, and the Mishnah doesn't tell us. Okay, we don't know. All right. Again, that Mizbech is a moving target. Sheish Lishkos Hayuba Azara. Okay, and again now second to last Mishnah. There are 6 chambers in the Azara. Shalosh b'tzafon v'shalosh b'dron, 3 in the north and 3 in the south. Okay? Yes, confusing because sometimes we describe them as being 4, sometimes we describe them as being 3, and every now and then we describe them as being 2. Okay. So, shalosh b'dron, shalosh b'tzafon. So now in the north, lishkas ha-melech, lishkas ha-parva, lishkas ha-madichin, lishkas ha-madichin. Okay, here. If in the picture, these are not gates. Sorry, these are chambers. I'm sorry, we're not describing the gates right now. Okay, we're describing the chambers. So in the right. Now I know why.
That's what they claim.
We're going to change that. Yeah. Take out the worship at cell phone. Okay, we're not in the north. Okay, so let me do this mission again. Sheish lishkas hayabazar, shalosh b'tzafon v'shalosh b'daron, 3 in the north, 3 in the south. Now, right, we are describing now in the south. In the picture, I'm over here, I'm all the way in the southeast corner. Right, lishkas madichin, lishkas aparva, and lishkas hamelach. Okay? Lishkas hamelach shama yunosnim melach lakarva. Now, what was kept in the lishkas hamelach? So that is correct. It's salt. I'm sure that's why it's called the Lishkas HaMelech. Lishkas HaParva Shama Yomolchin Alros. Kachim. Now, in the Lishkas HaParva, which was right next door, so that's where the hides were salted. The Al Gaga Hayobes HaTzvila Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim. Now, on the roof of the Lishkas HaParva, so you had a mikvah. Kohen would dunk there on Yom Kippur. Right over here. And v'yam kibur and lishkas hamadichim sheshama yumadichim kirve kachim misham misiba ola lagag beis aparva. On the lishkas hamadichim, so that's where the intestines of kachim would be rinsed out. Even though we describe the intestines being rinsed out over here on the tables in the north, but maybe this is for shlamim. And also, that's a way to access to the mikvah on the very top. Okay.
The second spiral staircase.
Huh? Another staircase. Okay. Good. All right, and let's finish up. Shebedarim. Again, we want to take that out. I think we do. Yeah. Let's take that out. Okay. Lishkas ha'itz, lishkas ha'gola, lishkas ha'gazis. Okay? You have a lishka for wood, lishkas of gola, and Lishkas Hagazis. Now, Lishkas Eitz Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shechachti Ma'isa Meshameshe. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, for a final time in the Masechta, who is again more or less the author of these Mishnayos, he says, I don't know what the Lishkas Eitz was used for. Now, it was called the Lishkas Eitz, so it does intimate to us that it had something to do with wood. Okay, but again, he says he doesn't know.
Where is this at?
Where is it?
In the north.
It's somewhere in the north. In the pictures, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't see it. Abishal Amr Lishkas Kohen Gadol Haisa Achare Shtehen V'gag Shlashtan Shaveh. The chamber of the Kohen Gadol was right behind them, and there was one roof for these three rooms. Lishkas Gadol Shama Yabur Kavua V'agagal Nasun Alav. Now the Lishkas Agola, there was a pit, there was some sort of pulley system, and that's where water was drawn for the entire Azara. Purpose of the water, I am unsure. Rinsing water, drinking water. Okay. Now, Lishkas Hagazis, and finally we get to the Lishkas Hagazis. That one we all know. Shammai says, Sanhedrin Gadol Sheisol Yosheves, Vidana Es HaKohuna. So that's where the Sanhedrin sat. Sanhedrin Hagadol sat in the Lishkas Hagazis. Now when I say sat, so what does that mean? Meaning if Lishkas Hagazis is in the Azara, so nobody's doing anything in the Lishkas Hagazis. Like the Beis Hamokad, Lishkas Hagazis, some of it was inside, and some of it was outside of the Azara. So you had a Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishkas Hagazis. Vedanas Kahuna, and they would judge Kohanim. Now, the Sanhedrin obviously had many purposes, meaning there's an entire Masechta in Shas dedicated to all the purposes of the Sanhedrin. But nevertheless, though, one of its purposes, especially in the context of our Masechta, is to make sure the Kohanim are good Kohanim, Miyuchasim. V'konshinim sabo psul lo v'shchorim matat v'shchorim v'yotze v'holech lo. Now, if a Kohen turns out to be pasul, so what do? So they dress him in black. That doesn't speak well for my wardrobe. So lo v'shchor n'metate v'shchor v'yotze v'holech lo. And he exits. U'shelo nimtza bo pasol. So, and if he finds not to be pasol, lo v'sh levanim. So he wears white clothing. White says the Rosh is a sign of happiness. Right? The on Tu B'Av, which was the happiest day of the year, and on Yom Kippur, which is also another happy day. Right? So white is the choice, is a color of choice. Umisatef Lavan and Nichnas Mashamishim Echava Kohanim. Viyomtav Hayu Osim Lo. Osim. And it was a festive day. On a day where he was deemed to be a pure Kohen. Shalom Nimtza Pusul Bizarushal Aaron HaKohen. There was no Psul in Aaron HaKohen. Somewhat strange because a moment ago we described the Kohanim who had to wear black. And obviously they were. Possible, I guess the point is that exactly the point. They didn't belong to the family of Aaron HaKohen.
The psul that they had was the kind of psul that's described in the parsha.
No, it sounds like we're talking about family psulim. Yichus. That's what it sounds like. V'kacha yomrim baruch ha-malchum baruch hu shalom nimtza psul b'zaru shal Aaron. U'baruch shabachar ba'aron u'vavanav la'amod l'sharis l'fnei Hashem b'beis kachay ha-kadashim. And the tefillah was said, and the tefillah was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, that you chose Aaron and his sons to stand and to be Mesharis Lefnei Hashem Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hajran Alach Kol Azaru, Slich Lama Seches Midos, end of the fifth parak, end of Sechta Midos.
By the way,
No. The shirt's white. Okay, thank you. Right. Okay, no, I think I know it's funny, we just finished. Okay, take a moment to recognize what we just did. We finished Seder Kachim, meaning, and really from beginning to end, meaning we did all Seder Kachim, right? Some of the decisions that were made in terms of the Dafa Yomi schedule is a little bit strange to me, but this is where it's very nice, meaning we did all of Seder Kachim, even the Masechtas that don't have Gemara to them. So Kinim and we just finished Midos, so they don't have Gemara, they just Mishnayos, but we did them as well. Right? And it's going to be an interesting contrast, because tomorrow when we start Masechta Nida, so there it's going to be We're only doing the one Masechta of Seder Taharos that has Gemara. So we're not going to do Kelim, and we're not going to do Oalos and Zavim and all the other Masechtos that don't have Gemara to it. Okay, why that is? That I don't know. But anyway, so you understand though that, you know, God willing, in a short 2 months from now, we're going to be finishing Shas, but somewhat of a misnomer. I don't mean to be the one pouring cold water and all this. But okay, anyway. On your own, okay? You start with Masechta Kelim, 30 Prakim of Kelim. Okay, we'll stop over here. Continue Refuah Shlema, 4. Refuah Zaka Avraham Ben Yakir Avigail and
Binyamin Zev.
Ben Shaul Rivka. וחנניה בן הקשר אמר מרצה קשבר חזק נסוע פיך אחר במתור מצו שנאמר נכה פיצה מנציקו יגזו תרבי ידיר